Okay, so I hope you all finish your assignment from yesterday, namely to figure out the structure of Perek Aleph. But if you'd like to cheat, you can look at the page in front of you, wherein you see, by the way, this was composed by Benny Gesundheit. Isn't this nice? Benna, who is a doctor who lives in Alon Shvut. Some of you may know him from Toronto. And if you look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the beautiful chiasm of Perek Aleph, wherein Yonah's speech is obviously the climax in the center, and then the whole turnabout is supposed to show and the amazing change that takes place, despite the fact that Yonah doesn't want to open up his mouth. What do you know? He's able to change around, again, the entire philosophical framework here of these pagan malachim, the sailors, and ultimately they who fear other gods at the beginning are now going to fear Hashem. They who are going to respond with please keep that in mind. We're going to see that they're going to serve really as to a certain degree also a foil for Yonah, who doesn't recognize Kasher Chafatz Tasita, that in the end Hashem does whatever he wants. So Yonah, again, even though Yonah's trying to prove this philosophical point to God, again, or maybe even to himself, again, that no, God should be a punitive God. That's a God of righteousness. That's a God of tzedek. That's a God of emet. And here, God is trying to tell him, wait a second, but there's also the possibility of changing of human nature. If that's the case, then at times, it's not so bad. Now, the irony is that Yonah, by saying, sa'uni v'tzulimi el hayam, he basically tells them things will be okay for you. And lo and behold, they are. As we now continue Perek Bet, and we see, again, new setting, new scene, again, but ultimately, just two characters here. It's going to be Yonah and the dog. Homework assignment number two. Again, Vayiman. How many times does this appear in Tanakh?
One.
No?
Four.
No?
Five.
Four in Yonah.
There's only one, so that's four times in Yonah. Excellent, right? Which basically tells you it is a Hapax Legavanon. Once in Sefer Daniel. Right? Did you see that? Okay. In any case, the very fact, though, that it appears four times in Yonah and only once in the other 23 Sfarim and Tanakh tells you this is a very strange word. Again, this is a word that is obviously dominant in Yonah for a particular reason. Can anyone tell me? What does the word Vayiman mean?
He prepared.
He prepared. Hashem manna, Hashem appointed, Hashem pakad. Again, Hashem basically took this fish, and again, this is going to be the vehicle through which Yonah is supposed to realize the continuation of the message. Vayiman Hashem dag gadol. As I told you, everything is in the superlative. Livloa et Yonah. Vayi Yonah b'mehadak shlosha yamim u'shlosha leilot. Now this, when you learn it in elementary school, oh yes, he's in the fish. Again, like you think of Pinocchio. Remember that scene in Pinocchio? Which is obviously built off of Yonah. No? No Pinocchio watching? Remember when he was followed by the whale together with Geppetto? Okay. In any case, what is this idea of being in the whale for 3 days and three nights? As I told you, one would not really be able to survive even momentarily inside the vacuum of a whale, let alone, again, for 3 days, three nights. And therefore, you have to remember that whenever there finds a certain passage of time, you have to ask yourself, what is the significance of the passage of time? After all, Tanakh is not here to tell you the passage of time, or for that matter, to record any historical data, right, Talia? Rather, again, it's here to give you some type of information. Again, so if I look throughout different stories in Tanakh, I find that very rarely does the Torah ever employ passage of time, and if it does, what do you know? The most common passage of time is?
3 days.
Okay, so just yell them out. What 3 days do you know?
Avram.
Very nice. Until and he is going to prepare for 3 days. Now, to manifest, does it really take 3 days to get from Be'er Sheva to Har Moriah to Yerushalayim? No, it takes about a day and a half. And Rav Meidan tried this on his bicycle. He made it in less than a day. And therefore, it's hard to imagine, again, that even with the donkey and a couple of restroom stops and maybe even a barbecue along the way, that would be like a little anticlimactic before a human sacrifice. Okay, sorry about that. But again, the basic idea of, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get bored, that the basic idea of three days that it took him, we only have to ask ourselves what's going on over there. Any other 3 days?
Paro.
Again, Paro. In what essence? There are a lot of 3 days by Paro.
His feast, something.
And Yamusha on the third day, after the Sahar Mashkam, Sahar Ofim dreamt their dreams, do you remember? And sure enough, after 3 days, the dreams basically come true. Avital? Shmuel tells Shaul to wait for him by Gilgal. For? Excellent. Josh said? By Esther and Achashverosh. Again, she waits 3 days for entrance. Sorry?
Yoshua.
Yoshua. Again, in three more days, we're going to cross the Yarden. Excellent. Thank you. Again, remember, there were few travelings in the desert that are 3 days. Yaakov runs away from Lavan. Again, a 3-day distance. Again, and then Am Yisrael, or Moshe Rabbeinu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, all we want to do is walk 3 days in the Midbar. And then, lo and behold, they get to Har Sinai, again, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and they're told to prepare for Mamre Har Sinai. Again, Shoshet Yemei Hagdalah. Notice that this is a lot already. Again, any others? There are more. Sorry? There are Shoshet Yemeim. Again, during the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Very nice.
And in Yona.
Oh, very nice. Parashat Balotzchai. Yefe.
Also in Yona, isn't the Mahalach Shoshet Yemeim?
In where?
In Yona.
Yeah. Very nice. We're going to see another one in Yona. Excellent. So I'll keep that in mind. Yefe. Another one, Ezra, the Brit Amana, the covenant that he renews. He tells them, okay, we're going to meet in 3 days. Just nod your head so that I made it. Okay, thank you. Hannah, any other? I'm just thinking with you. I'm more in Yehoshua. Sorry, Eliyahu is, he grieves over, sorry, for 3 days. No, we don't know the passage of time. All that we know, he leaves, and the next thing we know, he's already there. So Chazal Mechitza Taderech. But again, even there are more, by the way. But even with that, does everyone see that this is definitely the dominant passage of time? Now, does that always mean then that it really took 3 days? That everything is really literally 3 days? No. What are 3 days coming to depict?
More than two.
Okay, that's very nice. Sorry.
It's a while.
It's a while. Very nice. It's a trip. What is 3 days? Very nice. 3 days generally depicts a thought process, mental deliberation. Right? She loves me, she loves me not. Again, the idea, should I sacrifice my child? Should I not? Chazal are very, very sensitive. Sorry? Which one? Very nice. Yep, I'm on. Yep, excellent. Again, and also the Nabi of Beitel there, again, his fiancé. Again, for that amount of time. But basically, we also see this idea of, again, one preparing. Okay, in 3 days, we're going to cross the Yarden. Why do we still have to hear this? In 3 days, we're going to get at the Torah from Hashem. Again, the idea of a mental deliberation. Chazal are very sensitive, especially in the story of Megillat Esther, in the story of Akedat Yitzchak. Again, that they're really deliberating. Should I go through this? Should I not go through this? Chazal tell us that for those 3 days, Avraham encounters an old man, he encounters a stream, he encounters the Satan in all different forms. Again, the Satan, as you know, is really just an expression of one's subconscious and one's primal fears. The idea then of, again, Yonah, being here for 3 days, you tell me what type of mental deliberation. It's hard to imagine he was there for 3 days. Not only that, we have no proof that he was there for 3 days. Even if he had a watch. Even if he had a watch with, again, an electric, you know, one of those lights that you know, the glow-in-the-dark watches. Again, even how would he know? Again, there's no passage of time in the stomach of a whale. Does everyone see this? And therefore, you know that you're not supposed to take this literally. Rather, when the Navi here incorporates a passage of 3 days, you're supposed to recognize that Yonah is in the midst of a mental deliberation. You tell me, what's his mental deliberation? He's swallowed by the whale. What do you think he's thinking right away? I am going to die. Yay! Yay? That's what he wanted, right? Meaning he wants to show that God punishes, right? That God is, again, an admonishing, but even more than that, again, a truthful God. Yefem Ma'od. Now an hour passes by, 2 hours pass by. What does he realize? I'm not dead. This is weird, right? I should be dead. Right, so what does he tell himself? Maybe God wants me to be alive. Why does God want me to be alive?
To send the message.
Yeah, but I don't want to send the message. Right? Can you just envision this for yourselves? But again, all that the Navi has to do is tell you 3 days, and you already know that he's deliberating. I don't really want to send the message, so now I'm just going to stay here until I die. The next day comes along. But again, I'm still here. Okay, I guess I better do something, but I don't want to do something. Again, by day three, he realizes, wait a second, if God really wants me alive, again, and he's not killing me, so what am I still doing in the fish? And then he realizes maybe he's supposed to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, his own, to a certain degree, his own personal tshuva. Again, recognize, by the way, that throughout these 3 days, and it's not as if he believes right away. The very fact that he's deliberating, again, tells you that even the closure that he reaches, again, is still one that's fraught with deliberation. Again, psychologists even talk about this, the 3 days, which also express itself halachically, especially during Avilut. Right? So the first is, what's the first response to something, a tragedy that hits? The first is?
Denial.
Excellent. Second stage is? Anger. Third is?
Grief.
Is acceptance, meaning resolution, which comes with grief. Again, the grief is the first of. Again, it is the path to healing. All right, so basically, again, here we see this as well. Again, when I said reflected in halachically, again, by Yov as well. Again, you wait. Well, actually, there were 7 days, but you wait until again, 3 days to actually go and pay a shiva call, ideally. So with this, let's continue in Parak Bet. Vayimah Hashem Tagadol. He's there. Shlosha Yevim, Shlosha Yelot. Vayit Palel Yonah Hashem. That's when he realizes, okay, I guess God is keeping me alive, but he's not spewing me out yet. So it's time to dive into him. El Hashem Elokad Mipnei Hadaga. And this is where you're going to see, again, these are all the arrows that you see. We'll even just use this one to begin with. Again, the relationship between Perek Aleph and Perek Bet. You have the idea of, again, he's going to use the terminology of kra, kra, kra. Hashem said, I want you to get up and call. Now he's in the depths of the oceans. But nonetheless, he's going to call out to Hashem. Again, in addition to the idea of, again, the repetition of Shem Hashem, Shem Hashem, the same Malachim who recognized Hashem. Again, the association of Yerida and Aliyah that will appear here. Again, and the Yabasha, and especially the Zevach and the Neder that are going to come up at the very end. Take a look, by the way, at the top, again, where you see the flag. Remember I told you I wouldn't be able to draw this nicely, but this was the ancient flag of the city of Nineveh, the sign of Nineveh. Again, a fish in a house represent the port city. Again, and that's Ir Hadag Vayiman Hashem Dagadol. If he wouldn't go to Nineveh, Hashem is going to bring Nineveh to him. So with all this in mind, let's now take a look here and see the structure here. The structure within Perek Bet is not exactly chiastic structure, but rather a development structure, where we start off with the introduction, and then comes his sara, again, the despair, followed by the hatzalah. And this is where there's machloket, radak, and Ibn Ezra. How are you supposed to read, again, this pasuk, vayipol yonah l'ashem alakav, mimei hadagad? Did he actually say the tefillah while he was inside, or mimei, again, once he came out of? Again, which means, what's the nafkamina? Either the tefillah is a tefillah of
Todah,
again, or Bakasha. Yefem od. Again, so Radak and Ibn Ezra debate this. Vayomer, Karati mitzarali al Hashem. So again, either I read it as Karati, I have called out, or Karati, also in biblical Hebrew, can mean I am currently calling out out of my despair to Hashem. Vayaneni mibetan shol shivati shamata koli. From the bottom, vayaneni mibetan shol, from literally the stomach of the grave, hena shivati. I'm going to cry out to God, and he hears my voice. Vatashlecheni mitzula bilvav yamim. Now you're going to see something very interesting. Notice that he begins with, vayipalo yona al Hashem, vayomer karati mitzarali al Hashem. All of a sudden, Shem Hashem becomes nistar, right? It's going to become, again, if he does mention it, it's only going to be in a, again, it goes from the first person to the second and the third person, and then completely absent, telling us that, again, as he got farther down to the leagues of the sea, he felt further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Dalet, Vatashlecheni mitzula bilvav yamim, he has cast me to the depths of, again, the heart of the sea, v'nahar yisoveveni, which, by the way, he's mamash explaining to us step by step what happened. They threw him overboard, but he didn't see it as they throwing him overboard. He saw it as Hashem casting me overboard, v'nahar yisoveveni, and then the water surrounded me, kol mishbaracha v'galacha alai avaru, whether you like it or not, even if you want to die, or even if you want Hashem to kill you, then it's just human instinct or human response to try to stay above water. Right, so he talks about how it's in the middle of the storm, and again, all your waves and all of your, again, the hard waters passed over me. And that's when I tell myself, oh my gosh, I'm being cast away from your eyes. But at that moment I said, I will still see Heichal Katshecha. Now when we think of Heichal Katshecha, what is this? The Beit HaMikdash, keep in mind that Yonah is living during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. It's true that he lives all the way in the north, but this idea of having a relationship with God is something that he aspires to. But now, it seems that he doesn't feel this relationship, so no more. Nochach nistar, mention of Hashem, afafuni mayim nefesh. Gana, and then the water filled my body. Gana, what's your sense right now? What happened to him? He's gasping for air atop of the ocean, and then starts to drown. You can picture like the bubbles going up, right? Do you see this? Again, he's filling up with water. And then, and the fish tahom yisovivini. He's now on the bottom. The deep waters surround me. Suf chavush l'roshi. Again, he's sinking leagues below the sea until he's surrounded by reeds, right? He's in the coral area. L'kitzvei harim yaraditi. I went down to the bottom of mountains. Ha'aretz b'richa ha'badi la'olam. This is before all the BBC, you know, ocean film. Again, he says, I see the bottom of the mountains. Again, it was as if the land became the chains for me forever. Meaning, you sink to the bottom of the sea, that's it. Again, batal mishachat chayai. And then, Again, just as he basically was unconscious at this point. Next thing he knows, Gatam Mishachar Chayai, from the despair, the destruction of my life. Excuse me. Hashem lifted me up. Notice that this is where he mentioned Shem Hashem. After a pasuk of not mentioning Hashem at all, Gatam Mishachar Chayai, Hashem Elokai, how did Hashem save him from his despair? Again, all of a sudden, he finds himself in the middle of a fish. As God wrapped me up, et Hashem Zacharti, I remembered God. And this seems to support even Ezra, who says that et Hashem Zacharti, he is saying this post facto, right? That, oh, that's when I remembered Hashem. So may my tefillah come to you, gana to the Beit HaMikdash. Mishamrim havlei shav, those, and this is the statement of irony and to a certain degree cognizance of Yonah, Mishamrim Havleshav, those who can preserve, can complete vanity, Chasdam Ya'azovu. What is he saying? Those who really don't believe in anything, Chasdam Ya'azovu. What is he recognizing here in this pasuk? That there is a phenomenon known as Chesed Hashem. Right? That Hashem does bestow kindness upon people who do what? Who believe in him. And so now he says, okay, and why is it that this thing happened to me? Why is it that Hashem saved me? Basically, he believes that he should have died, right? So why is it that Hashem saved him? He still wants to believe that this is an expression of the truth of God. So it must be, why did Hashem save me? Because I still believe in him. So what is he basically saying now? That now he understands that even if people don't always do the right thing, but mishamrim, instead of havlei shav, but they do preserve some basic sense of recognition of God, then what will God do? God can bestow chesed upon them. Can everyone see how now, again, his philosophy, I don't want you to see it as completely changing. He recognizes a certain aspect that could also be viewed as a truth of God, and that is chesed. What's chesed? Regular chesed, the Rambam says, means someone does something for you, and then what do? Then you feel this relationship and you do something for them. There's one exception to this rule, by the way, and that's called chesed shalomet, right? Again, where the person cannot restore something to you. But it really is in your best interest, as the Rambam, to do something nice to someone, because then this is how society works. What will they do? And then they'll treat you to Shechem, right? After you treated them to Shechem. Now, again, so this is what Yonah realizes right now. Mishamrim havlei shav chasdam. This shouldn't be, again, in Yonah's vernacular even, the word chesed. But he says, no, I see that it's not din, because I don't deserve this, but God can also act with chesed on the condition that people believe in him. And therefore I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will come and I will sacrifice to you. Everything that I have again vowed to myself, probably while he was inside the fish, I will fulfill. Yeshuat al Hashem. But what's the irony and the connection? That ultimately he's recognizing something, again, that it took him 3 days to realize, that it took the sailors just moments to recognize. How do I know that? Because he responds exactly the way that they did. He says, oh yeah, I'm going to do that too. And clearly the author wants to tell you, wow, like chaval Yonah, that it took you longer to realize this. Now at the same time, you're not meant, as a reader, you're not meant here to cast judgment on the characters. How do I know that? You're supposed to appreciate what's known in literature as character development. You're not supposed to pass judgment, meaning, again, are you supposed to say, who's better, the sailors or Yonah? Do you see that? Is that the author's intent over here? No. Right? At the same time, though, you are thinking in the back of your mind, wait a second, you know, but Yonah is a Navi, and they're pagan sailors. Right? So the very fact that they recognize it so quickly, that's wonderful, but it's probably going to be short-lived, whereas Yonah, again, really recognizes it, so maybe it won't be as short-lived. Again, but I want you to appreciate that that's not really the theme over here. It's not even the sub-theme. You're supposed to say, wow, Yonah, the author clearly wants you to parallel them, not contrast them here, that Yonah's like the sailors, that Yonah learned from the sailors, kasher chafatz dasita. Sure enough, Genet, the last pasuk, Vayamar Hashem ladag, Vayakayet Yonah el hayabasha. So Hashem commanded the dag, and lo and behold, he spew Yonah out to the yabasha. Again, this yabasha doesn't mean that he's back home in Gat Hefer, right? Again, he's somewhere on the yabasha, and this is what's going to help us understand the bridge between Perek Bet and Perek Gimel. One last idea, again, that Chazal are very sensitive to. He starts off in a dag in pasuk Aleph. By pasuk Bet, he's in a dagah, and when you know, by pasuk Yud Aleph, he's back in a dag. Again, so what did Chazal say? Anyone remember? He started off in a male fish, but he wasn't davening, right? So what did Hashem do? Hashem put him in a female fish. What's significant about the female fish? Again, there are billions of eggs in the female fish at all times, right? Again, they swim downstream. They are going to lay their eggs, and then the males come and fertilize them. Are you familiar with fish breeding? Okay, excellent. Veya, or fish breeding as it's known. So basically, Chazal say, yes, only when he was squished in with the female fish, that's when he davened. So Hashem made it easier for him and put him back into the male fish, and then the male fish pulled him out. And why is that? On one hand, the beautiful message that Yonah does not initially daven until he's in a state of duress. I just want you to realize, based on Pshat, is he under duress even when he's in the male fish? Oh, yes. Gana, so really, is there a difference between the dag and the daga? No. Gana. And as a matter of fact, there are many fish that don't even have a gender, right? You know this? They have both eggs, again, that they lay, and then they fertilize their own eggs. Okay, so, again, it's just really about the dag, and we said the symbolic aspect to Nineveh itself. Perikimel. And the question is this really a whole new nevuah? And, or the whole point is that now we're going to see how the word of Hashem, again, will have reverberations. Again, this, I'm going to argue, is really a continuation of the first nevuah. So Hashem says, compare for a moment, again, without further ado, the Navi who's writing this is telling you, okay, not only is Perek Bet peeled off of Perek Aleph, but so is Perek Gimel. How do I know that? I have a Kriya Hashem once again, which means that this time you are supposed to compare and contrast the Kriyas. Can anyone tell me what's the difference between this Kriya and the first one?
Aleph and
Aleph. Okay, yeah, again, Aleha versus Eleha, meaning I want you to actually go, Yefeh, but even the broader term. Sorry? Different ta'amim. Okay. Which ones read smoother? Again, meaning less intonations in voice. Less change in ta'amim. Aleph has less change? Eleha. Yeah, yes. Gana, yafeh ma'od. Gana, which means that when you read this the second time around, what sense do you feel? And it's a little starker, right? You go up twice. Nachon? Gana? What does that tell you? So what did the tamim tell you? Gana, aleph is, again, I'm just going to Aleph, I come lechem and veha, you have dola, ukra aleha, ki alta ra'atam lefanai. Whereas the second time, come lechem and veha, ukra aleha. Right, again, without even the tune here that I'm reading, why is this significant? It's almost as if you feel a greater sense of urgency. Right, again, it pushes you a little more. But what else? There's something that's clearly omitted. Yeah? Very nice. Just go and say what I said. Yafeh. And something is also left out.
You came out, there's no reason.
Thank you. Everyone notice this? Again, Parak Aleph begins, Ki Altar Atam Lefanai. The reason I want you to call out is because they're evil. This time Hashem says, Krala Takriyasha Anochi Doveri Lecha. Again, just go to them. Don't start justifying. Again, no, they're bad, so they don't deserve this. Right? Do you see this? No, and that's what you wanted to say also? Yashar Kocha. Then Hashem says, just do it. Again, which relates to what Liat said. Asher Anochi Doveri Lecha. Now, at the same time, you still have to base the message on Ki Altar Atam Lefanai. But I don't want you to start, again, going through your philosophical Anna, deliberations anymore, Yonah, just go. Anna, and this is exactly what it's about. Hashem says, you're the Navi. You're supposed to interpret my words, but not to what? What is the Navi not supposed to necessarily do? And then challenge what Hashem is saying. But is that really true? No. How do you know that?
Avram.
Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Avram Avinu, right? That no. It's okay for the Navi to challenge. And the irony is that Avram Avinu, when Hashem says, when Hashem is going to say he's going to destroy Sodom, and Avram is the one to say, excuse me, Hashofei Kol Eretz Lo Yaseh Mishpat. Where's Mishpat? Again, here Yonah is basically saying, wait a second, and this is also where's Mishpat? Again, but in the opposite way, right? Avram says Mishpat includes Chesed, and Yonah is trying to say Mishpat shouldn't really include all chesed, right? Only a certain level of chesed. Again, so notice that Hashem, again, is just telling you, now, on one hand, I don't want you to think about it. On the other hand, now we understand that, no, obviously, this story, even though Nineveh is going to play a role, is it really a Nevuat Ha'amim story? No, it's not. It's associated, and it's going to be juxtaposed to Obadia, because both of them seem like Nevuat Ha'amim. But if it's really Nevuat Ha'amim, we could have started, as I mentioned yesterday, with Perek Gimel. Who is this Nevuah really about? It's about the transformation of Yonah. It's about Yonah's response to this. It's about Hashem, through Yonah, teaching us something about, again, the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, with this in mind, we see that this time Yonah is going to do this. Vayakam Yonah, remember? Last time also we saw he got up and then Vayered, Vayered, Vayeradim. Vayakam Yonah, Vayelach al Ninveh kivar Hashem, v'Ninveh hayta ir gdola l'Elohim, mahalach shloshet yamim. So Michal pointed this out before. Why is it significant that the Navi tell us that it's a 3-day walking distance? And how long does it take, by the way, to walk through New York City? Anyone else? North to south, not west to east.
Just Manhattan.
Anyone did this?
3 hours, 4 hours.
It takes a day.
Yeah, I think people say it takes a day. That's what I heard. I figured I'd ask people if anyone. But, Ghana, which, if you think about it, is a long time, right? Meaning, say, a big city. Just to put this in proportion, and especially because we're talking in superlatives anyway, this is 3 times the size. But nonetheless, we already know it's an Ir Gdola. Why is it significant that the Navi tell us it's a Mahalach Shloshet Yamim? So go back to your other three days. That means that from the moment he enters to the moment he leaves, he's going to be undergoing deliberation. His deliberations really won't come to a closure until when? Very nice. Until he finishes walking through the city. However, take a look at what happens. He's going to walk. But after a day, he comes more or less to the center of the city. Which means for you, the reader, what has happened to you now? Then he has walked and he's saying, should I really come from the Nebuah? Should I not? Again, I'm on hand, yes, because I told Hashem that I would, and I saw the chesed of Hashem. And again, my personal chesed certainly benefited me. So I guess I should. Then again, I really don't think that they deserve this, and I don't want to portray God, again, as a super benevolent God. Again, that's a Christian idea. I'm sorry for all the anachronisms. And basically, he's deliberating. I should deliver the Nebuah. Now, that's already telling you that, wait a second, it could be that had he finished his deliberations for the next 2 days, what conclusion would he probably have come out with? Well, you're going to see yourself. What conclusion is he going to come out with? What conclusion is he going to end up with? I chaval, right? I really shouldn't have, and we'll prove it in just a minute. But take a look at this. Again, he's in the center of the city, and here's his Nebuah. Now, again, most of the time, as I mentioned, Hashem will appear in the form, a Nebuah will appear, in the form of a vision, in the form of, again, some type of message, the voice of a malach of some sort, and the Navi's task is to interpret that and then decide the best way to influence the people. Based on what we've been learning, even in Trei Asar alone, what do most Navim do in order to best affect their audience? Well, they talk to them. Anna, how do they speak to them? They try what?
Rebuke,
very nice. Rhetorics, tools, meaning they're going to try various devices, various literary devices, in order to get the message across to them because they have an interest. Their interest is to try to engage the people, to interact with them, to influence them. And they know that there are various personalities that are here, and what may speak to Shoshana isn't necessarily going to speak to Gila. So basically what they do is they're going to try all different types of mechanisms. Nachon? And that being the case, take a look at Yonah right now. Right? Let's see if he really wants to affect the people. And he comes in, Malach Yomachad Vayikra Vayomar. And what you're going to see is that not only is this the middle of Perakimel, but it's going to be the middle of the entire Sefer Yonah. Do you see the second page that you have before you? And second page, other side. Excellent. Right in the middle. Isn't that cool? The super duper chiasm. Thank you. Anna, so now if you take a look, on that side, you see right in the middle, the other side, Talia? Other side. Anna, in the middle of this chiasm, what's going to stand out? You ready? 5 words. Od arba'im yom v'ninve na'apachet. I want you to picture this. It comes into the city. Od arba'im yom v'ninve na'apachet. That's how I always picture it. People? Does he want to influence them? No, it's almost as if he's going to be Yotei Yotei Chavato. Any of you ever get a homework assignment like this? Okay, right about your summer vacation. I went to Camp Moshava and had a good time. There. Did the person fulfill their obligation? Do they do the assignment? Yes. Again, what will the teacher probably give that child? Oh, I forgot to tell you, it's an 8th grade student. Right, what will the teacher probably give? Can't give an F. Why not?
It
did the assignment. They did the assignment. But what will he get?
A D.
That's right. Again, now, so notice Yonah over here. Oder v'myon. In which case, we have to ask ourselves, why does he choose these words? Do you remember? Again, the Nevi is the one who decides how he's going to say it. So clearly a very abridged nevuah because he's not interested in having an effect on them. Nonetheless, Hashem said the basic message of and which method did the Navi decide to use? Again, remember we discussed yesterday, the Rosh Yedah tells the Madrich, go and rebuke. Again, tell them that the camper is bad. So which method does the counselor decide to use? You know, if you misbehave, you're not going to get shekem tomorrow. Right? So that's Yonah, basically. Right? He's going to tell them the consequences of their evil actions because that's what he fundamentally believes in. He believes that again, actions should lead to reactions of God. He believes in what's known as theodicy. He believes in Torah Tagmul. He believes that God should respond. Now, again, as I mentioned, he doesn't necessarily undermine tshuva, but only post-punishment. Again, he doesn't believe, again, that even if human nature does change, that God's nature should change. Do you see this? Again, that being the case, now again, let's understand why he chooses these five words. Od arba'im yom. Why does he say 40 days? Why doesn't he just say 10 days? Why doesn't he say 180 days? Right? Why 40 days? Od arba'im yom v'nin v'in ha'pachet. Avital. Of the Mabul, 100%, right? And prove to me that he's using Mabul terminology. Od arba'im yom v'nin v'in ha'pachet. What's na'pachet? Flipped upside down. Again, a complete, like the flood, again, from pre-diluvian to post-diluvian times. A deluge throughout the land. Yafeh ma'od. Excellent. Again, and why particularly Mabul terminology? And you're just as bad as those people who were full of Hamas, and you're going to see those words repeating itself here. And you know what? It could be that they really were just as bad. How, speaking though of Mabul 40 days, why is the Mabul 40 days? Just as we've been speaking about passage of time and the particular usage of passage of time, can you think of other passage of time of 40 days? Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu, Sinai, 40 days, 40 nights. Eliyahu, repeating that.
The transformation.
40 nights. Beautiful. Again, the Meraglim, who went to Eretz Yisrael for 40 days, and then Hashem punishes them for 40 years. Yom L'Shana, Yom L'Shana. Very nice. Yechezkel, who is on his right-hand side for 40 days. Yom L'Shana, Yom L'Shana, L'Chaper Ochet Yehuda. Yeah. Okay. Basically, what's 40 days then? What are these 40 days? What do 40 days symbolize? If 3 days are mental deliberation, what's 40 days? Kafka.
Transformation.
A metamorphosis. That's right. Meaning a major change that takes place. Right? Again, now you can't, undergo personality change, in 3 days. You can undergo deliberation, but you can. You know, all these diets, isn't that interesting? What are all the, famous diets? None of them are like a 3-day diet. Why? It doesn't mean anything, right? Again, so you lost 10 pounds in 3 days. What's going to happen over the next 30 days? Just going to get it all back double. Again, what most of these diets are, how long? Again, they're a month long, right? The 30-day diet. Why? Because what's a diet really about? It's not about losing weight. It's about changing your eating habits. That's right, consistently. So that's a metamorphosis. In Tanakh, you would always have a 40-day diet. Again, that's the idea. Except for the slav, which was a 30-day diet. But again, here we have the 40 days of transformation that takes place. So basically, Yonah's telling them, you have 40 days to undergo a major metamorphosis of behavior over here, and if not, then there will be another major change, and that is that you will be completely destroyed. Anyone remember where we see that word, that verb of nahapachet? Stomna mora. Excellent. And there's a lot of stomna mora terminology. I think that I put this down here as well on your sheets. Is this here? No, I only put down the Yonah Shmot and the Yonah Yoel. Okay, but there's a lot of Yonah, again, Stomna Mora terminology as well, and that's obvious because he's saying that they deserve it. And a look, Hashem really can destroy cities.
It's supposed to remind us also of the fact that didn't want necessarily succeed.
Well, we're going to see he does succeed against his will. Right, yafeh. So what happens? Just like Perek Aleph, do you remember? He finally opens up his mouth with 14 words, because that's what a Nevi does. And almost against his will, he has an effect. Hasher chafatz basita. Hashem wants him to have an effect, and he does have the effect. So let's take a look at the effect that he has. And we're going to try to examine, again, not necessarily the sincerity, and as much as, again, what Yonah sees. Again, Then, and immediately, they start believing in God. Vayikru'utzom, vayibushusakim migdolam de'aktanam. And they all start wearing sackcloth. Vayigadavar el melech minvei. Just like things start with the sailors and they end up by the captain, do you remember? So too, they're going to start by the proletariats, they're going to end up by the king. Vayakom mikiso, vayabar datomi alav, he gets up from his chair. We learn, by the way, interesting halachot of avelut from here. He takes his grand clothing off, vayichasak, vayishav ala ether. Vayazek vayomer beninvei mitam amelech ugdolav lemor, ha'adam v'habehema v'habakar v'hatzon al yitamu me'uma. He says, not just man, but animals. Again, cattle, flock, we're going to muzzle them up. Al yitamu me'uma, no one's allowed to eat. Ve'al yiru umayim al yishdu, don't let them pasture, and don't give anyone any water. Now, when you look at this, this looks ridiculous. Why? Reminds me of like the Land's End catalog at the very end. They have clothing for like dogs and cats. You know what I'm talking about? Like designer clothes for... And it's so sad, no? I thought that people would actually waste their money. Okay, never mind. But again, do the kids... Sorry?
It's cute. I'm going to dye his little sweater.
Mm-hmm. No. Do they really need that sweater, by the way?
No. Their coat isn't good enough.
But it is, meaning we really need coats, but they don't. They have... But they're cute. Oh, they don't need it for warmth. They need it for cuteness and fashion. And okay, so Liad is just corroborating the idea over here. Thank you very much. Again, so note then that, again, the animals can't eat or drink either. Do the animals realize what's going on? They can't. Again, what's the whole point of fasting? You should recognize your vulnerability before God. Again, you should realize that we've done something wrong. How can we be so entrenched in ourselves? We should be focused on God, right? That's the whole point of a fast, not to, you know... save some calories over here, again, not to lower our calorie intake. Again, the animals obviously don't understand this. So this is, again, it just seems very cute, right, or superficial. And sure enough, there is a machloket in the Gemara here, again, whether or not their tshuva is sincere. After all, it seems very superficial. And just to substantiate this all the more, it says they remove the chamas asher b'chateihem. I think it's Rav Yeshua ben Levi who says they remove the chamas asher b'chateihem that was overtly in their hands, but not all the chamas, not all the stolen goods that they had stacked away. Which tells you, was it a sincere tshuva? No. Chachamim say, however, that, right, it was a sincere tshuva. They're fasting, they're turning to God, tshuva, tefillah. Again, this is beautiful. And again, is this really the nubbiest point here to start dealing with whether or not it was sincere or insincere? No. How do I know that? Because the focus isn't really going to be on them. It's going to be on Yonah. And not only that, what else did they say? Vayikru al halom b'chazka v'yashuv v'ish midrako. Mi yodea yashuv v'nicham ha'elokim. V'shav necharon apo v'lo nore. What else is announced? Two ways of reading this pasuk. Mi yodea yashuv. Whoever knows how to do tshuva should do it. V'nicham ha'elokim. And God will automatically... regret or calm down, and he will return from his wrath and we won't be lost. So if you know how to do tshuva, do it and it works. Notice this in contrast to Yonah, who is not only suspicious and wary, but really undesiring of tshuva before punishment. Notice the people of Nineveh, what do they say with confidence? Mi yodei yashuv v'nicham elokim al ha'ra'a. Whoever knows how to do tshuva, guess what? Tshuva definitely works. Again, you do it, and God's wrath is going to be abated. And as opposed to the second way of reading it, mi yodei yashuv v'nicham elokim. Whoever knows the evil things that they've done, again, you have to pause between mi yodei and yashuv. Mi yodei yashuv v'nicham elokim. No matter, again, which way you read it, there still is a certain level of confidence that tshuva works. Yes, tshuva works no matter what. No, I kind of missed that. And I missed it? I missed the answer to it? Right, and this was a pasuk that they used in English. Now, whoever knows, shall return, because it's universal, right? Again, he's talking to people of Nineveh. How did they translate it? Whoever knows how to return, or whoever knows should return. Do you see the difference?
I don't really
remember, but I'm pretty sure. Very nice. Yeah,
Could you read it as if being unsure should exist?
Can you read the whole thing
as a question?
As a question mark.
Who knows if we do tshuva, is God then going
to
be
living? I think it's the Mitzvot who actually do read it that way. Again, which means that in contrast...
So you're doing a bad job of getting the message across because they still don't know what tshuva is doing.
Very nice. And what else are they saying? Even if we're unsure, right? Yeah. Guess what? It still pays to do it. Whereas Yonah says... That very nice. Yeah, again, Pascal's wager definitely works, right? This is Anshei Ninbe. Again, whereas you all know Pascal's wager, you all learn this in high school. Yes, why God exists. It's worthwhile. Just believe in it. You're better off with it than without it. But basically, Yonah, who says no. Again, not only again do I, if I'm not sure that it exists, he prefers to believe that it doesn't, because what will that say about God if tshuva doesn't exist? A God is a God of?
Din.
Very nice. Yafeh ma'od. Vayarol kimet masehim. Again, it seems to also say something external. Vayarol kimet masehim kishavu mitakam ha'ra'av. Yinachem al kimel ha'ra'a asher dibre'el asod lam v'lo asa. Gemma, do you like the tshuva or you don't like the tshuva? That's really not a matter, again, not that the Navi wants to deal with right now. All he wants to say is, guess what? Superficial, not superficial. It works! Again, it really does work. Notice that exactly what they proposed is what happens. The end. No, it's not the end, because it's not about Ninveh. And it's not the Nevuat Ha'amim, because if so, it would have started in Perek Gimel and ended right here. Like Ovadia, that would have been a nice Nevuah, self-inclusive, but it's not. It's about the transformation of Yonah, which seems to corroborate all the more that this Nevuah, again, is really a whole creative Nevuah, meaning is the Nevuah to Yonah, Kumpra el Nidvei ha'ir abdolo kra'ala ke'al tarvatam lefanai. Is that the Nevuah? No, the Nevuah is this whole story. Meaning, you ready for this? You want to get very rational for a moment? Which means that, especially if you incorporate Ibn Kaspi, Yonah is having a Nevuah about having a Nevuah. Are you all following? I was just going to say! You've all seen Inception? Yes? Okay. And that's exactly it. Again, mamash, the last scene. Is that a dream or is that reality? I don't know. Could it be both? Yes, that's why it drives all the people who saw it crazy. And there's no way... did anyone read up on this? I just didn't want to waste my time. What was the director's intention?
For it to not be clear.
Thank you. Right, the director clearly, like everyone's like, oh, what did he mean? Like, he meant for it to be ambiguous. Again, anyone who learns Nevuah knows that, right? Meaning, he wanted you to recognize that it's unclear. That sometimes, in real life, we can't distinguish what was a dream and what was reality. Remember I told you that sometimes I have virtual conversations with students, then you meet them, and you're not sure, did I have or not? Again, that's okay, because that shows. By the way, do we like dreams? Are we supposed to be dreaming? Are we supposed to? I don't want to say have an alternate lifestyle. Any Richard Bach fans over here?
Any what?
Richard Bach, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, one, Bridges Across Forever. Oh my gosh, really? You don't mean Jonathan Livingston Seagull? Classic? Christianity? The Seagull coming back to life? Okay, never mind. Again, no, but basically he believes in something very capitalistic, which is like alternate lifestyles. Okay, I'm going to just dilute this a drop. Choose your own adventure. You ever read those? Right? Yeah? Other than Michal? Anyone else read?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, now you read. If, you know, you want to battle the monster, then turn to page 89. If you decide to continue to go back to the path, then turn to page 56. Right, and that's it. You get to choose, but ultimately, what's going on within the same story? There are alternate paths, right? There are alternate stories that you could have read, right? So, again, this is really weird. Richard Bach creates this whole reality we're in. There are alternate lifestyles of you going on right now. There are other Noams who there's a Noam right now in Israel volunteering, you know, in Mada. You just don't know him, but there's like in a different. There's
a movie.
Oh my
God! Yeah. When she breaks up with him.
Yeah. That's a great one.
It's so freaky.
It's sliding doors.
No, it's a soldier stuck inside of himself, and he.
I saw that one also.
No, I don't.
That's my student. What's that called? Right, where he.
It's Nivish.
Nachan, where he goes back to the terrorist bombing.
To the train, and they keep replaying it, and then he lives in that world.
Yeah, but he's not living alternate.
Yeah, because then he lives in that world.
Which is really not his real world.
No, but
right,
because he's not his body.
He's dead. Kind of. But it's
but he saves all those people on the train. And
then you miss it. It's an alternate reality in his head.
Yeah.
No, physically.
He saves all the people of the
train.
He saves
the people.
And creates a
But he's still...
No, but he creates...
half of a body.
Yeah, but he creates a different world.
For himself, it's true.
No, he creates that world that's alive, all those people that would have been dead.
It's true, but he... Now I'm talking just about him. In real life, he doesn't exist.
No, but he exists in an alternative...
As I said, in a different reality.
Not his reality?
You sure?
Yeah, he exists in the pre-dead
world.
He's
dead, as I said. In the real world, he's dead.
No, his world and his existence.
Okay, he created a different existence. Got it. Right. Let's stay there. Okay. Let's stay there. Okay, what was the point of this? Right, Yonah. Gana? Sorry about that. So Yonah, now you just have to remember the name of the film. Right. Oh, okay. Talia, thank you. I had Emma in school this year also, someone who, whenever I couldn't remember the exact, I should just say, oh, Shani, this is what. And okay, here we go. So how do you understand Yonah? So Yonah, based on this, again, it's really not about Nineveh. It's all about him. He is sharing with you, okay, you ready? The alternate lifestyle, that dream, which isn't a dream, it's a nevuah. Right, he's sharing with you the nevuah about him receiving nevuah, which, by the way, makes a lot of sense. In his nevuah, could he be swallowed by a whale?
Yes.
Could he see himself deliberating in the whale? For sure. Again, you see this? Again, which makes a lot of sense also. All of a sudden, he sees himself back on Yabasha. Which Yabasha? Why doesn't it tell us which consonant he's on? Because it's insignificant. It's all in his mind. Isn't this a more sophisticated way of learning Yonah?
Okay.
Source code. That's
very thin. Wow, see, and I was without an iPad. The human brain, much better. Sense. Thank you. Okay, we're now ready for Perek Dalet. And now with this, we begin. Vayera el Yonah ra'agdola vayicharlo. And Yonah, again, I just want you to envision for a moment. This is in his nevuah. And, but it's by the way, does it really make a difference? That's why I was just thinking about this. Does it make a difference if he's alive or if he's dead, if he has this alternate lifestyle and source code? No, it doesn't.
If he's alive, then he's crazy. But if it's dead, then it's actually an alternate reality.
Right, but an alternate reality that's not really real. Right, do you see this? Again, because in the real world, he's dead.
Yeah.
Right, oh, so that's the assumption of the movie, right, that I'll be honest, that I wasn't thinking about at the end, that there really is a different world. I didn't see it because they place him, mamish, in a real Chicago, right? So, but, okay, I like your reading and interpretation, which I somehow missed. Again, that idea that there is an alternate world right now, wherein this is going on. Why am I bringing this over here? Because Yonah, does it really bother him? Does it bother him in his nevuah? Does it bother him fundamentally? You tell me. Does it bother Yonah the Navi, or does it bother Yonah the person? See what I'm saying? Meaning Yonah in his nevuah, or Yonah the person? As I said, there isn't really such a nafkamina, number one, because you're going to get the message no matter what. That's why, again, there, the same thing. Again, Hashem gave Yonah this nevuah because he knows that it will, right? That this is something that does fundamentally bother him. Notice, by the way, the association between the previous pasuk and this pasuk, namely that is, Hashem's anger is waning. God is forgetting about the ra'ah of Nineveh, and the more God is forgetting about the ra'ah of Nineveh, what's happening to Yonah? His ra'ah is aggravating, right? His ra'ah is getting worse. Rabdullah vayichalo vayipalil Hashem vayomar an Hashem halo zed vari ara yuti alagmati alkeim kitamti lebrach tashisha ki ata yadati ki ata kachal el chanun rachumata erchapayim barchesed v'nicham halara. Notice how Perek Dalet, by the way, is not only related to Perek Gimel, because you're going to see ra'ah and charon miyodei yadati vayarin ra'ah. So that's the association between Gimel and Dalet. But Dalet, by the way, and now also connecting back to Bet. And on your chiastic sheet, obviously also connecting back to Aleph. But look at Bet and Dalet for a moment. In both of them, he has a tefillah. In Perek Bet, what was his tefillah? Hashem, please keep me alive. In Perek Dalet, what's his tefillah? Hashem, forget about the tefillah of Perek Bet. I want you to kill me. Do you see this? He's canceling his previous tefillah. Halo zedvari ad hayoti al admati. Notice, by the way, his very emphatic terminology over here. This is my word, again, ad hayoti al admati. As long as I am living, again, on my land. What's strange? On one hand, I'm going to argue that Yonah is right. Hashemayim shemayim lahashem. Va'aretz natan levnei adam. Again, Yonah, being very self-focused over here, says, look, God, Again, I know you've been telling. Go. You've been telling me, go to Ninveh and speak. I've been speaking your words. I've been speaking your words. Enough of your words now. Now it's time for my words. Halo zedvari. Again, now you're supposed to say this Navi has a lot of chutzpah, but it shouldn't surprise you. Are there other Nevi'im with chutzpah?
Yeah.
Yes, who?
Eliyahu.
Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu.
Avram.
Yafeh. Chavakuk. Gena, super duper chutzpidik. Gena, so notice this. Halo zedvari ad hayoti alad mati. Gena, God, you know, it's very nice that this is the way that you want to behave. But in this world, what is Yonah basically demanding? How should things work? Al kin kidamti levarach b'shisha. I cannot tolerate. What can he tolerate? He can't tolerate God's forgiveness of the evil. He can't tolerate that God is allowing tshuva before punishment. He can't tolerate this phenomenon. And that's why he says, because I know, and that's what bothers me so much about you in this world. What does he consciously omit from the midot over here? Thank you. Emet. You are not a God of truth. You are very nice. You are Rav Chesed. But I'm not going to say that you're a God of the world, because you're not. And this is what fundamentally disturbs him. And therefore, take my nefesh, because my death is better than my life. Why is his death better than his life? He's right, it is. Sorry?
There's olam
shel emet in death. Why particularly in his death is there going to be a met? His death will prove
it.
He deserves it. Why does he deserve it?
He didn't listen to Hashem.
Because initially he didn't listen to God. So I'd rather, yes, I'd have greater comfort in my death and life. Because in my death, it would show me that you know how to punish. Again, so do it already. Liad.
Is this another 14-word theological statement?
Yes, 100%. Chol hakavod, that you're paying attention. Yafeh. Everyone knows this? He was counting the words. I said every time Yonah opens up his mouth. Again, it's going to be somewhat limited, but yafeh ma'od. Again, back to the parallel in Parak Aleph. V'atashem kach nashi, kitom otim mechayai, b'erim Hashem, ha-hitev charalach. How do you read this pasuk? It's a very difficult one. Ha-hitev charalach. Ha-hitev. Is it good for you, charalach? Again, your anger. Is your anger good for you? Is it good for you to be angry now, Yonah? What is Hashem basically telling Yonah? Am I going to change my ways? No. So you have a choice. You can either be angry at the way I am, or learn to accept that this is Rachei Hashem. And so basically he tells Yonah, and you ready to live with your anger? Then this is good for you. And notice the play on Tov and Ra, meaning, what do you decide is Tov and Ra? Right? And you know this by going back to the Rambam's empirical words. Again, that Tov and Ra are very different than Emet and Sheker. Right? The world of Emet and Sheker of Gan Eden, right? Versus the subjective reality created by man of Tov and Ra. Right? You all learned this. Right, and the story of Breshit. Then so you get to decide this. Vayetze Yonah min ha'ir, vayeshev mikedem la'ir. So I told you his days of deliberation are over. He's regretting this. He's on the eastern side of the city. What do you know about the east in Tanakh? Thank you. The punishments come from the east. Yefem od east of Eden, mitzuyan. Vayeshev mikedem la'ir, vayaslo shem sukkah. He's going to be on the east because what is he still anticipating? Hashem said, okay, you're going to stay angry forever. And basically saying, no, I hope that God comes around and ultimately he's going to bring punishment. He makes for himself a sukkah, vayeshev tachta ha'batzel, adasher yire'eh ma'yeh ba'ir. I can tell you, even somebody says, ma'yeh ba'ir. He's confident that something's going to happen to the city. Again, now 40 days, they may be destroyed. Here's that magic word again, vayimam Hashem elokim kikayon. You know what a kikayon is? And it's a tree. It's not really a tree. And it's more like a bush, mitzuyan. It's a bush that grows very, very quickly with very large leaves. And but why does it grow so quickly? It doesn't need a lot of water at all. And it has very shallow roots. Right, so keep that in mind. Again, this kikayon comes sprouting up. And Hashem invites this kikayon, vayal mi'al yonah liyotzel arosha latzilo mira'ato. So Hashem creates this kikayon to be a shade for him. Latzilo mira'ato. What's his ra'ato? What's his ra'ah? What's bothering him so much? He's so bothered by God's chesed. Why will this alleviate his bothering of God's chesed? Because God is giving him chesed. Right? So you'll see chesed is not so bad. Right? And Latzilo mi'ra'ato v'yismach Yonah l'kikayon simcha gdola. Right? In contrast to his ra'a gdola of Pasuk Aleph. V'yiman elokim tola'at ba'alot ha'shachar. Notice the play on words. Tola'at ba'alot ha'shachar. L'macharat v'tachat ha'kikayon v'yivash. Easy come, easy go. V'yihi kizroach ha'shemesh. And now the sun again, is shining. And what do you know? Hashem is going to send a strong eastern hot wind. What's going on in Nineveh? Don't know. Not important. Again, I do know that the sun is going to be beating on Yonah's head and he faints. And now he wants to die again. Why is his death better than his life now? Because he's in so much pain, he's suffering so much. Vayomer, meaning last time, his death would have been better because it would prove that God is a God of Mishpat. This time, death would be better, and because God took away his chesed. You see this? So again, here God was trying to tell Yonah, you create your own subjective terms. Right? And this is, again, the way to read Yonah. Again, there are many different ways of reading this. It's not so simplistic in that Hashem is saying, okay, you see, chesed is good. So when chesed is good for you, Yonah, you don't complain. When I give chesed to other people, you do complain. Again, it's not that simplistic. Hashem is basically trying to prove to Yonah, you have your own perception of the actions of God. Do you see this? You see this is good and this is bad, then, but it's all you. So now I don't understand. So now your anger is good for the kikayon? And so you decided that this anger is a good anger, what you are now upset about, that there isn't a kikayon? Yes, I'm going to take this anger, which is good for me, until I die. So you have rachamim for the kikayon that you didn't even work for. That was here, again, for less than 24 hours. And Hashem starts off by saying, and I shouldn't have rachamim for the big city of Nineveh with more than, again, what's Shdemes Rei Ribo? Ribo is 10,000, so 120,000 people. Asher lo yadam ben yimino lismolo. And but now Hashem seems to be like taking away from that 120,000 people who don't know the difference between the right and the left hand. Ooh, bay maraba, and don't forget those tzaddikim of the cows and the dogs that were there. Again, who starved themselves. And yes, I'm going to let you go to high ropes right now. Can anyone tell me what in the world is going on over here? What type of ending is this? So firstly, it's a rhetorical ending indeed. Secondly, again, what's Hashem trying to tell Yonah? So Uriel Simon has a beautiful piece where he basically shows how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything starts in this Nevuah of Yonah. Again, Yonah and the Malachim. That Yonah, again, who sees himself as an insular part of society, Hashem is going to place him amongst others, amongst pagan soldiers, amongst, again, the people of Nineveh, and then, ultimately, with the sun and the winds and the kikayon, that Hashem wants Yonah to realize that God's actions are much broader than he, that Hashem incorporates the chai, the tzomeach, again, the domain, into the life of Yonah, for Yonah to appreciate the vastness of God. Again, on the other hand, of a nativ has a different, slightly different explanation, where basically God says, look, again, you were trying to flee from your destiny. Your destiny was to speak and have an effect on people, whether you liked it or not. Again, and there's a grand destiny. Yonah, stop looking at the microcosm of yourself. Again, the reason you will never know my ways is because it's so subjective in your eyes. Again, you have to appreciate the more objective nature. You're right, it looks like these are 120,000 really silly people, again, with silly animals, but they're part of a broader picture of the world that you just don't know of. Again, back to the idea even of the alternate lifestyle, in the sense that there's so much more that goes on. And I'm sure you're familiar with, again, if we associate Yonah with Eliyahu, because he uses the same terms, right? Again, Zedvari Arayoti Aladmati. Again, he basically is quoting Eliyahu over here. That same idea of Eliyahu didn't necessarily know how to relate to the broad image of things. Chazal say Eliyahu is going to be, again, Tishbi Yetaretz Kushiot Uvayot. That it's going to be Eliyahu who ultimately comes and explains to us the broader image, the broader picture of things. There are so many stories in the Gemara about, oh, the family, the cow dies. And they don't understand, yeah, but the cow died. Said your daughter didn't have to die. Oh, okay. By the way, does everything make sense still? No. Again, but Hashem is trying to tell Yonah, you have to look at a broader picture. And so I always try to envision, how does Yonah, so to speak, wake up from this Nevuah? Anna, I'd like to see it as a Nevuah, because otherwise it's very difficult to understand this ending Pasuk. Right? The ending Pasuk, as I said, is an open-ended Pasuk. It means that if it really happens in real life, you have to ask yourself, so what happened to Yonah? Can anyone tell me what are the three possibilities? What happened to Yonah after this?
He died.
He died. Very nice. Again, and why did he die? Either because he's going to remain stubborn in his ways, and Hashem says, okay, no anyway, or for Yonah reals, you really deserve to die. Excellent. So he died. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two? He lives, he learns his lesson and very nice again, went back to Eretz Yisrael, happily ever after. Number three. Thank you. He lived and didn't learn this lesson. All right, he lived, maybe even stayed there for longer, maybe continue to argue with God. But if this is really the whole thing, again, is a nevuah, then instead of saying, where is Yonah after here, say, again, what is Yonah's new perception that he's supposed to be sharing with us? What is the goal of this nevuah? So I just want you to know, the biblical critics say that this nevuah is all about universalism. It's all about tolerance. And that's why biblical critics believe that it's written during Bayit Sheni, at the very beginnings of Bayit Sheni, when Am Yisrael came back and there were a lot of Shomronim, there were a lot of Samaritans around, and we have to learn how to be tolerant. So this is really about tolerance of the other goyim, that even though they're terrible, they're really tolerant. Do you like that explanation? No, but it's really not just about the Malachim and about the people of Tarshish, it's about Yonah. So can anyone tell me, how does Yonah change his perception and therefore write his nevuah down? As a result, what does he want to say? What's the basic concept over here? Which is also going to serve as the reason why we read this as Dafka the Haftorah at Mincha time on Yom HaKippurim. Very nice, that there's always room for tshuva. Definitely very encouraging. And even if you don't understand it, does it work? Yes. Because you don't understand the broader framework of God. You don't understand, again, how God is not just in charge of man, not just in charge of the sea, not just in charge of the Shammai, not just in charge of the Yabasha, but everything, again, contained within and beyond. And therefore, again, the idea of reading this Dafka at Mincha later in the day is because all day, what have you been doing? Shamnu, Paganu, Kazamnu, Libarnu Dofi. Right? I don't know about you, but my upper left chest really hurts, right, by Mincha time. And you're supposed to learn, like, this does it? This really does it? And what do Chazal say? Yeah, I know that sounds weird, but yeah, just confessing it. Eventually, again, it has some effect on you. And again, I'm wondering, does this really make sense? And what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say at the end? Whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. So all those doubts, and again, the catharsis that you're undergoing on Yom HaKippurim is basically, there's a mini catharsis of Yonah himself. And even if you're going to end up the day with more questions than you had at the beginning, that's okay. Again, the resolution is that Hashem kal rachum hachanun, and this is actually an expression in the end of Yonah ben Amitai. It is not the undermining of truth, but it's a further expression of the truth of God. Enjoy your high hopes, and that is Rat Hashem for those days. In 2 weeks, we'll finish Reyes. Sorry for that.